baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet, Aaron Live, right here on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, you know the drill. Hit that like and that subscribe button right down there. If you like the show, let us know that you like it by hitting the like button right down there. So big show coming up for you guys today. Jake Butt will be by here in a matter of seconds, just because the college football season is over. Doesn't mean we're done with Jake. He's going to be with us through the Super Bowl. So we'll put a bow on the college football season. Look ahead to next college football season. And then look ahead to these big games this weekend in the NFL with him. Then in the second segment of the show, good looking board in the NBA tonight. And I am looking to bounce back. I had a couple of really tough beats last night. A couple of really close losses that made it hard to sleep. I had the Timberwolves -2.5. Against the Mavs, Kyrie hits a meaningless three with time expiring, and they did not cover, and that made it very difficult to sleep. So no choice but to bounce back here tonight. We live to bet another day. That day is today. Okay, if you guys want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube, on X. Who do you like to win the College Football National Championship next year? You think Ohio State can repeat? They are the favorites. We're going to discuss that with Jake. What do you like in the NBA tonight as well? And any thoughts, any props that you guys like for the NFL coming up this weekend? Let us know. We will read a few responses off throughout the course of the program. Okay, let's get right into the action with our guy, Jake Butt. He's about to have a lot more free time on his hands here. Jake, how are you making out?
Well, I'm doing good. You know what? I'm excited to have a little bit of free time, Joe. Bittersweet college football season comes to an end. I mean, that's always bittersweet. At least we still have the NFL. But after the football season, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take up golf. Okay. That's my goal, is to actually become a good golfer. Easier said than done, though, but that's my off-season plans.
I've been trying. I started golf a little bit later in life. It's frustrating. You just got to be realistic with your own expectations. Take your time. Don't take it too seriously. Try to
don't gamble. Don't gamble when you are not good, right? Like, that's another lesson, because then that's just double frustration on the golf course.
Yeah, I always like to set the expectation when I play with people. Just so you know, guys, I'm not very good. And then they know what they're getting into. And nobody really gives a shit at the end of the day, let's be honest. Okay, so let's put a little bit of a bow on the college football season. So pretty dominant win here by Ohio State. They win 34-23. Any closing thoughts here, big picture closing thoughts on how everything played out with the new format and the changing landscape of college football?
Man, I have a lot of thoughts. As far as the 12-team playoff goes, you know, we were kind of sold that this was going to allow for a Cinderella story. Hey, maybe Boise can make a run. How about SMU getting in? And the Cinderellas we were given the Cinderella was the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So the truth is I don't – football is so much different than March Madness. Anyone could get hot from the three-point line in March, and you'll see a 16 seed or a 15 seed take down a one or a two seed. There's not going to be Cinderella stories in the college football playoff. But what you will see is the Cinderella story of a two-loss Ohio State team that we knew all year had one of the most talented rosters in college football history, getting a chance for redemption. And even as a Michigan Wolverine, I have to acknowledge, like, this Ohio State team is special. Ryan Day, 70-10 as a head coach, third highest winning percentage of all time. And people were calling for his head after the Michigan game. So in a sense, it really was a Cinderella story, a story of redemption. So that part of the expanded playoff is good. The last thing I'll say is, the takeaway, Big Ten, back-to-back Big Ten champions, or back-to-back national champions, first time since the 60s. When I was playing, and rightfully so, it was the SEC that dominated the college football landscape. I will openly admit that. We are now seeing the ebb and the flow all the way back to more balance in college football. That's credit to the NIL and the transfer portal. When I was being recruited, you used to go to camps, and I mean, I'll just tell you, there was players who would drop duffel bags down saying, if you want the money, come to the SEC. Just the truth, okay? I got nothing against it. I said, okay, that's cool. Let's make sure everyone can do it. Mm. Now, and what would happen is certain SEC teams would stockpile. They would have their third and fourth string would be a five-star waiting to play. Now, no five-stars wait to play. You go to where you can play now. So there's a balancing of power leading to more parity and leading to the first time since the 60s back-to-back Big Ten national champions. So that's the grand overlay of the new landscape of college football.
Yeah, absolutely headed in the right direction here. Seems to be a lot more parity these days. I remember, what was it, that Alabama and Clemson meant, was it 2-3 years in a row in the national championship game? And it was, everyone knew it was going to be those two going into the season, and that's what you got. So not very exciting. A lot more question marks when you enter a season nowadays. So, of course, odds are up for who's going to win the whole damn thing next year. We have five teams that are inside of 10-1 odds. Ohio State is the favorite to repeat here, plus 425, followed by Texas. Those two teams playing week one of the season next year, by the way. That's going to be massive. Georgia, 6-1. Oregon, plus 750. And Penn State, 9-1. How do you like Ohio State's chances of repeating next year? And does anyone else stand out to you as an elite contender?
Yeah, I you know, for the Ohio State Buckeyes, they had two of the best players in college football this year. Jeremiah Smith would have been a top five, top three, maybe number one overall pick as a true freshman. Caleb Downs was maybe the best football player in all of college football as a true sophomore. So both those guys will be back next year. They'll be even better next year. So they'll have the best offensive and best defensive player in college football. Off that alone, you have to like them. You mentioned Texas is the other team to really, really like. And I think Quinn Ewers, though he was a five-star, limited what they wanted to do. And I know they're extremely excited about Arch Manning, so much so that they could have returned. They could have brought Quinn Ewers back. They could have brought their quarterback back next year, but they're pushing all their chips on the table, going all in on Arch Manning. I would say if you wanted a futures bet, I would wait to find the loser of that game and put the futures on whoever loses that opening season game after they lose. Because as we just talked about, there's a chance for redemption in college football. You lose, buy low. That's probably my plan. If I had to pick right now, it's going to be one of those two teams. I'd feel very good that the national champion would come from one of those two teams next year.
Okay, over to the NFL now. We'll get into these two games on Sunday, but a couple topics I want to throw at you. First, so Mark Andrews coming off one of the worst games a player possibly can have, just a devastating performance to the point where I think a lot of football fans just felt bad for the guy. He had a really bad fumble halfway through the fourth quarter. Then, of course, a two-point conversion towards the end of the game. He dropped a pretty easy ball. Now, it's not very debatable. Mark Andrews is a really good player. Most people would put him in the top 10 in terms of tight ends in the NFL right now. But you've been in the locker room. You played at a very high level. How was that type of thing received in the locker room? Every team's different, obviously. But from a player's perspective, what's your thoughts on how things would have went afterwards for Andrews and the Ravens?
It is fluid. I mean, it depends on your locker room. It depends on your leadership. I think John Harbaugh being the coach that he is, and the Baltimore Ravens being the organization that they are, they're recruiting and bringing in a certain type of guy that has the understanding that, hey, that's a tough game for Mark Andrews. Lamar Jackson had a bad game. I mean, there was missed opportunities across the board. I always felt this way as a player, where no matter what one player did, I said, I didn't play my best game, you know? And I would assume that that's the general consensus in the Ravens locker room. Also, it depends on the guy that makes the mistake, which is Mark Andrews is a competitor. He's a professional. He's overcame a ton of injuries and health issues in his life. So everyone in the locker room knows that this is an anomaly for Mark Andrews and not something to expect going forward. If you had to ask everyone in the locker room to bet whether or not this would happen again for Mark Andrews, I bet everyone in the locker room would say, no, this will never happen again. So I think all those reasons say that the Ravens locker room is built to, as tough as this. I mean, what a long path to get there. And even though the Bills were going to get the ball back with plenty of time to score, you want the chance to at least compete. I just think the Ravens locker room understands we're not going to put the blame on one guy. None of us played good enough. Not every locker room. I mean, the Bears after that, you know, look at the Bears season after that Hail Mary against the Commanders. You know, that's the example of the exact opposite type of locker room of what I'm talking about right now. Yeah. But the Baltimore Ravens are a historically very solid organization. As tough as this is, they'll be back next year, you know, ready to compete.
Yeah, a very classy move by Bills Mafia, by the way. I don't know if you heard about this. I think I saw yesterday they donated over $50,000 to Mark Andrews Foundation. So high class. That's something you hear about Bills Mafia doing once or twice every season. So hard not to get behind them here.
They're unless the best, man. They are the – how could you – shout out to the Bills Mafia.
Yeah, like,
how wouldn't you love to play for them as an organization? I mean, it'll be at some point. We'll talk about the Bills Chiefs game. I like the Chiefs to win, and the Bills Mafia are going to be there in freezing cold, waiting to cheer their Bills team. Whether win or lose, they'll be there ready to greet their team. That is the best fan base in the NFL. It's unbelievable.
Okay, before we get into the two games, I want to ask you about the Detroit Lions, whose coaching staff is getting absolutely gutted, and they were gutted on Saturday night. I was gutted after they lost that game. I felt bad for them. I felt sad. A very easy team to get behind, but talent can only get you so far, and you do need good coaching. So we saw last season the wheels really fell off for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think a lot of that had to do with they didn't know what the heck was going on with their defensive and offensive coordinator. I think they ended up firing their defensive coordinator. They had Matt Patricia on the sideline. So things really unraveled for them. Coordinators matter in the NFL. So we have Ben Johnson off to the Lions, Aaron Glenn off to the Jets, defensive line coach Terrell Williams is off to New England to take their defensive coordinator position. Do you think this team could be in trouble? A very competitive division that they play in.
Yeah, I mean, you have to acknowledge the fact that that is a gutted coaching staff. It really is. And even if you can't, let's just say you might like somebody. Maybe you have a position coach that you think can be a coordinator one day. Well, it's going to take them some time. You can't expect that year one jump that they're going to get the same type of production as what they got. Clearly, their coordinators were sought after. Even if you push a guy up, they're not going to be sought after in year one. The culture is still great. Dan Campbell is still a phenomenal coach. I imagine he attracts a ton of talent. People are going to want to coach and be a part of that organization. That's absolutely true. I think one key person to watch here, Hank Fraley, their offensive line coach, that's the heart and soul of this team. And he's being reported as potentially making a jump to a coordinator position. Or jumping around, leaving the Lions. That guy is the heart and soul of the offensive line, which is the heart and soul of the team. There's not a lot of great offensive line coaches out there. And that's another one to watch spinning this forward. So I will say this, though, too, Joe, because, going to Michigan and a lot of my social media page, there's overlap to Detroit. And I see a lot of Detroit fans coming after Ben Johnson or, they're saying, hey, our coordinators had one foot out the door. I don't see it as that. The turnovers killed him in this game. Like that, the explanation of what happened should be one line. You cannot turn the ball over. They had 500 yards of offense. I mean, they were moving the ball. The turnovers killed him in this game. That's not a coordinator issue. So just wanted to throw that note out there.
Donations to Mark Andrews Foundation up to $95,000.
Bills Mafia.
I saw that come in. Extreme class. Okay, let's get into the two games here. Let's start with Commanders Eagles. Line holding steady here. The Commanders are a 6-point underdog, a total of 47.5. We'll get your thoughts on the game as a whole first and then some props that stand out to you. So what do you make of the matchup here on Sunday?
Well, I just think there's a chance to look at a moment in time of how the formula of turning around an organization, which is, I mean, new ownership, new GM, new head coach, quarterback. You get those pieces in place and you can go from bottom of the barrel to a now championship contender. It's crazy that those are the key pieces, the foundation to your organization, and the Commanders appear to have batted 1,000% on all of those. Great job to them. They've been a great story this year. To me, as I look at this game, I'm selling high for the Commanders. Now, all of a sudden, there was a few whispers saying that people like the Commanders last week. Shout out to those people. But now I'm selling high. It is hard, if not impossible, to go on the road three straight times and beat three straight good teams. I love Jayden Daniels. He is a gamer. They got their quarterback of the future, maybe a top five quarterback in the league already right now. But that run defense is highly concerning to me. Even with the Lions' loss, they were able to get whatever they wanted running the ball. And now you're playing that Eagles offensive line with Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. I don't think they need to even throw the ball to put the ball in harm's way. So heavy run game. I like the Eagles to win this game. In fact, that line sitting at 6, I'll take the Eagles to cover just because I think this could be a clean game of matchups that favors the Eagles.
That seems to be the consensus amongst the guests we've had on the show here this week. Okay.
Dang it. I thought I was going the other way, but all right. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I would like to see the Commanders get through. It's a fun story. You know, we've seen the Eagles in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. No one would have predicted this Cinderella story of the Commanders, but yeah, that story might come to an end here on Sunday. Okay. A couple of props stand out to you in this game. What are you betting on?
I like the over just because you look at the Commanders shootout against the Lions, 76 points there. You look at the last time the Commanders played the Eagles, 69 points there. I mentioned the struggles on defense. And then Jayden Daniels, even though the Eagles got a great defense, Jayden Daniels and those weapons, they're phenomenal. This feels like a bit of a shootout. The weather shouldn't be as much of a factor in this one. So I like the over. Also, this feels like a game. I look at the video in the snow last week of Eagles GM Howie Roseman hugging and jumping and hugging Saquon after a key play. And I say, Saquon Barkley, 2 touchdowns in this game. I'm like, let me throw it on there. Plus 210. You're not going to get great money, great odds for Barkley anytime touchdown, but 2 touchdowns you can get there. And then the last one would be Dallas Goedert over 37.5 receiving yards. A few reasons I like this. He's went for 47 plus yards in 3 straight games. He's cleared 38 plus yards in 5 of his last 7 games when playing over 75% of the snaps. So he was beat up earlier in the season. Now he's healthy. Expect him to hit that over. And then knowing the Commanders defense is run defense is struggling, they're going to have to sell out to stop the run. I know this is a tight end. That means you should be the guy to exploit that. When we say sell out to stop the run, that means linebackers and safeties. Those linebackers and safeties are the ones who would have to be matching up against Dallas Goedert. So the Eagles are going to mix in play action in this game. Dallas Goedert is explosive enough where one big play action corner out could get you the over. But I like the over in receiving yards for Goedert.
Yeah, I had his longest reception. I think it was 15.5 yards or something last week, and that came through for me. I was very excited to see that hit. Yeah, I think I like to call him that over as well, given the Commanders' aggressiveness on fourth down, clicking in the red zone. Cliff Kingsbury calling some good games here for that offense. Okay, let's get into, I think we would all agree, the main event of the weekend, the Buffalo Bills trying to get over the hump, finally against the Kansas City Chiefs. In the playoffs, they're an underdog of 1.5. Once again, another total of 47.5. And you already told us you like the Kansas City Chiefs to move on and compete for their third straight Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, the spread is about 2 points right here. And basically what we're predicting, another shootout, another close matchup, going to be a fun game. Well, the Chiefs, 11-0 in one-score games on the season. So hard, if not impossible, to bet against Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce in these one-score games. It's been a phenomenal year for Josh Allen. They got – I love their tight ends. I love a lot of things about the Buffalo Bills. I love James Cook, and I expect to see another great matchup. I mean, this is what the Bills and the Chiefs give to us as fans. This is going to effectively be like a Super Bowl. But the Chiefs, they were kind of in cruise control all season, and yet they've went back to who they are in the postseason, which is feeding the ball to Travis Kelce, finding ways to make plays in the big moments. So expecting this to be a close one, I'm betting on the history of who the Chiefs have been this season, taking the Chiefs to win.
I'm rooting for Buffalo. I kind of have, as we've discussed, Chiefs exhaustion. You know, are we going to do the whole, is it going to be a big Kelce Super Bowl? You know, Jason Kelce would be in the mix with the Eagles there and with this broadcasting stuff. But yeah, there's something to be said about cheering for greatness. It's fun to witness, you know, Tom Brady, LeBron James, Tiger Woods. I think you might be able to put the Chiefs in that category as well. Okay, so that's what you think of the game. What about props? What are you hitting the click button on for prop bets here for this game?
Yeah, to our viewers, you guys got to follow this guy, Joe Osborne, on Twitter. He has a great breakdown of Travis Kelce playoff performances and what you can expect from him from a yardage standpoint. So I'm going to go over Kelce on the receiving yards. And really, you look at this season, and I just can sense the mental thought process for the Chiefs, which is, hey, we don't need to wear Kelce out. We know what we can at any point in time, they can turn the heater up on Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, but they didn't need to do it for the majority of the season. Now they need to do it, and we're seeing them do exactly that. And in a shootout, like we just said, we expect Bills Chiefs, they're going to go with Travis Kelce. And I know what everyone's saying. Well, the Bills are going to double team him. That's every single team's game plan since the beginning of time in every playoff matchup. And yet it doesn't matter anyways. It is really hard to double team a tight end attached to the line of scrimmage when you're mixing in play action and motion and all the different things Andy Reid does to get Travis Kelce open. It's not as easy as what some would make it seem. So this is an over based on history, based on I'm expecting the Chiefs to win, which means they're going to ride Travis Kelce all the way to the promised land. And then the last prop I have is James Cook. You can get him at even money for over 60 plus rushing yards. I think he's one of the more underrated backs in the NFL.
Agreed.
When you mix in, I mean, Josh Allen as a runner, you mix in some of the things they do offensively. I like their offensive line. I know the Chiefs got Chris Jones and Karlaftis. They got a good defensive line for sure. But I'm expecting a high scoring game. James Cook averaging 66 yards per game in the playoffs. So I'm going to take even money here, James Cook to go over the rushing yards.
Yeah, some foreshadowing with that Kelce prop. I bet that last week. It's about navigating the regular season for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And despite navigating the regular season, they only lost, two games, and one of them was in the final week of the regular season. So, yeah, the foot is on the gas here. Travis Kelce, one of the best postseason performers in the history of the NFL. That is no exaggeration, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Jake, we're going to leave it at that for today, but you'll be with us again next week. We'll have a Super Bowl matchup and a lot of other stuff to discuss as well. So until then, enjoy the games and we'll catch you next week.
Appreciate it, Joe.
All right, baby. Closing in on 1,000 live viewers right now across YouTube and X. The majority of you guys watching on X right now. Hit up that live chat, guys. Let us know, what do you like tonight in the NBA? What do you like this weekend? And the NFL. Let's talk a little NBA. I was mad at the NBA last night, John, because I came on the show and I gave out three picks. And I went 0-3, the wrong type of sweep. It was a reverse sweep. One of the losses was Kyrie Irving hits a meaningless three at the end of, I talked about it at the top of the show here. As time expires, he hits a three-pointer. It was a four-point game, made it a one-point game. They went to replay to see if it counted. It ends up counting. That sucked. So I think, well, damn. First two bets are 0-2. Hopefully the Sacramento Kings can save me. I wake up. It was on the West Coast, so I didn't watch the game. I wake up. I look at the score. I had them. They're favored by 7. They won by 6. And I thought, shit, that stings.
They actually made a pretty good comeback because they were down like 15, the Kings were. But there was, I don't know if you saw it, Malik Monk got a steal, went for a dunk, dunked it reverse, but it hit off his head and didn't go through the basket and went out. So like that's earlier in the game, right? But when you think, when you look back on it, you're like, they win by 8. If he drains that dunk and it swings the spread, it's just kind of one of those not funny if you have the Kings. But when you're watching, you're like, ooh, I thought it was like, if he goes under by a point, or like, it just feels like that always happens, doesn't it? So
yes, I would have liked if he would have connected on that dunk, but it wasn't to be. But you can't back down in this business. We're back to bet another day. I think I got some pretty good reads here for this evening. Before we get into the action, including this afternoon game in Paris, France, you want to touch on the LA Clippers. Very shorthanded last night. No James Harden, no Kawhi. They're back in action today. Have a bet on that game later on in the segment. But you wanted to weigh in on their performance last night against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I was watching Kings Warriors, and then I kind of had Clippers Celtics in the background because I was expecting it to be a blowout. you just kept looking up at the score and you're like, Clippers are up by five, they're tied, they're competing. And then the Warriors game fell off, and then I watched the fourth quarter and it's just like the Clippers were like no doubt punting yesterday. They were just like, okay, Zubac has the eye thing, so he's probably not ready to play. Kawhi Leonard only plays either the front or the back end of a back-to-back, so why don't we just sit him out this one against the Celtics and he can play today? And then it's like, just rule everyone else out because we're playing the Celtics, probably not going to win. That's for sure what was going on there. And I'm just watching it, and it's kind of like what we brought up with the 76ers and Nick Nurse, where at some point you have to coach the guys you have on the floor. And Ty Lue was, you could tell he wanted that win so bad, but like just a great, great coaching job. And I think, again, I think I don't think anyone's taking the Clippers very seriously from like NBA Finals, Pacific Division, all these futures. And they just continuously keep showing us they're a good basketball team and like good depth, well-rounded, good, well-coached. Yeah. And like they were competing their ass off last night. It was a really like, I know that the NBA gets dogged where you have a lot of games where people don't try. That Clippers team was all out effort. Derek Jones, Amir Coffey, Kevin Porter, they all played fantastic. I just thought it was an awesome effort from Clippers.
Yeah, great effort by them. Hopefully we get a great effort from them again tonight. More on that here momentarily. Okay, we have a game in Paris, France, a homecoming for Wembanyama with the Spurs taking on the surging Indiana Pacers. You have an SGP. I have a good old-fashioned full-game spread bet. Get us started with the SGP, and you will bookend this segment with another SGP for Lakers-Celtics. Tell us about your bet for the game in Paris.
Yeah, two SGPs. I know everyone's running with the Wembanyama France narrative. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with the Pacers here. I like Tyrese Haliburton. I think in this matchup, like you look at Wembanyama, defensive player of the year, disrupts so many shots. But when you think about how Tyrese Haliburton scores, it's like step back threes. It's really deep three pointers. It's him just kind of being shifty. It's a lot of floaters, high shots off the backboard. I just don't think Wembanyama bothers his game as much as other players. So from like a points perspective, I think Tyrese Haliburton could be your guy. And then you're looking at Miles Turner. I flirted with Miles Turner with his points instead of Haliburton, just going full Miles Turner here. I'm just, you would think they want him to stretch the floor, but at the same time, those can be hard three pointers if Wembanyama is closing out at you. So I went with Haliburton instead. But Miles Turner, obviously there's a path here with his minutes as well, because I mean they're going to need him on Wembanyama defensively, and he was showing an edge on this number with like 30 minutes. He's got to play more than 30 minutes, you would think, going against Wembanyama. And then Pacers money line, I feel like everything's just kind of shifted a little bit too much towards the Spurs because it's got the narrative of Wembanyama in France. So I think the Pacers should be a slightly bigger favorite. And Wembanyama's points total has gone from like 25.5 up to 29.5. Everyone's just playing it. So I'm going to go with the Pacers here for this SGP this afternoon.
Okay, John, we're aligned because I'm going to take the Pacers to cover the spread. And this one really stood out to me when I was looking at the lines early this morning. They're favored by 3. I'm going to take them to cover that number. They're playing their best basketball of the season right now. Over their last 10 games, they're 8-2 against the spread. More importantly, though, they are third in net rating. The Spurs come into this game struggling. 3 straight double-digit losses for them. So what's the reason for the little bit of a turnaround here for the Pacers? Well, all of a sudden, they're really good on the defensive end of the floor. They are third in net rating over the last 10 games. Spurs struggling in that area at 23rd. A great three-point defense for the Pacers. 4th in points allowed. That's a bit surprising considering they typically play at a pretty fast pace. Spurs 27th in points allowed. And Spurs struggling offensively, pretty bad shooting numbers here lately, 28th in three-point percentage over their last 10. So I will take the Pacers to keep rolling in this one. Okay, so you have 3 separate bets for the Lakers-Celtics tonight. I have a couple bets we'll do in between, but get us started with one of the props you like for Derek White.
Yeah, I want Derek White over 3.5 assists. So he's coming off the back end, that was an overtime game they just played against the Clippers, back end of a back-to-back. But the thing that popped for this market was he had a good edge and his minutes projection was below his season average. So I feel like the back-to-back thing is accounted for and you're still showing an edge to this. And then when you put this on film, when you're thinking Celtics, Lakers, a lot of his matchups are going to be Austin Reeves and even LeBron James. And I mean, LeBron James can guard. He guards really well in the playoffs or when he's guarding D'Angelo Russell. If you saw the other night, he got pretty low into a stance there that I don't think we've seen in like 15 years. I feel like the Celtics are going to attack those matchups And it's going to be both players here. I have Derek White and Drew Holiday. I think it plays for both of them. I just think you're going to see them run the offense through White and Drew Holiday so they can go at Austin Reeves, so they can go at LeBron James. And I think both players are just going to be able to create. Then you also kind of have to question, I put it, is everyone playing? I mean, the Celtics, back end of a back-to-back, overtime game. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown played a lot of minutes. Could someone be ruled out? It's always possible. And then that just increases the usage for someone like Derek White. Again, it could be Derek White who's ruled out. We don't know. But just it's not banking on it, but it's, you know, in the NBA, it's always in play. So at least it's kind of there. So give me the over for White.
Okay, let's go to Golden State where the Chicago Bulls are in 10, and I'm going to take the Chicago Bulls. They're a small underdog, 1.5 points. So this is a spot I've played here recently. It's fading the Warriors in the second game of a back-to-back. Would it surprise you to hear that a team coached by Steve Kerr that's been beat up throughout most of the season doesn't really put their foot on the gas in the second game? Back-to-backs. They're 1-4 ATS in the second game of back-to-backs. This is actually their third game in four nights. They're really beat up. Draymond Green out of the lineup. Don't be surprised if Steph ends up sitting out this one, but I am making this bet under the assumption that he will play. So check out some of these recent results in the second game of a back-to-back for the Warriors. 10-point loss to the Spurs, 37-point loss to the T-Wolves, 30-point loss to the Kings, and a 12-point loss to the Indiana Pacers. Dig into the stats. The edge there goes to the Chicago Bulls as well. 16th, 27th, and net rating over the last 10 games. Bulls are shooting it much better, and they're defending the three-pointer a lot better too. They are second in opponent three-point percentage over the last 10. The Warriors are 29th in that spot. So give me the Bulls as a small dog there in Golden State. Okay, prop number two for Celtics Lakers, Drew Holiday.
Yeah, before I go, Drew Holiday, Patrick asked me about the Knicks in the chat here. What's the juice on that? Just so I can better answer your question. I'll answer. You want to just drop what the juice is on that 52.5 so I can answer a little bit later. And Todd, the dunk didn't count. It didn't clear the mesh. It hit his head because he jumped so high. It hit his head and went right back through the rim. So that's why the dunk didn't count. But we'll go. We're going Drew Holiday. I rarely go teammates both assists in a game, but I really just think there's something there with both of these guys because I think they're going to go at both these matchups. Like I said, it's going to be LeBron James or Austin Reeves guarding one of the two, and both of these are just sitting at 3.5, and it's just not a big number for Drew Holiday or Derek White. It's that number that grabs your attention on either player when you see it. And like I've said many times, even with the Celtics, you just don't really have to do anything great to get assists. You just swing the ball, someone knocks down a three. The thing that really I like about Drew Holiday here is he sat out the front and the back-to-back. So when you're talking about minutes, he wasn't playing yesterday. He didn't play in the overtime game. So you would think tonight they would lean on him just a little bit more than maybe some of those guys who played in that front end of the back-to-back. And he's gone under his assist total here. But like you're looking at the numbers, 7.5 potential assists his last three games, only converting to one. So, I mean, if you're looking at the box, you're like, oh, he's not getting a lot of assists, but they're just not converting. The potential assists are still there. And it's the same thing I said with White. I love the matchup, love the number. So I'm going over for White and Drew Holiday.
Okay, next up for me, we discussed the Clippers off the top of the segment. They're a massive favorite tonight, favored by 14 versus the Wizards, and I'm going to take the Clippers to cover that number. So, yeah, second game of a back-to-back, but not a typical game in the second game of a back-to-back because John kind of touched on this, that did LA punt on last night's game? Not in terms of effort, but they certainly didn't put their best lineup out there. Kawhi Leonard sat. Expect to see him back in the lineup. They're 4-1 with him in the lineup this season. James Harden, who doesn't miss a lot of time, he sat out as well. Expect to see him back, especially if this line is any indication. Odds makers are expecting them to play. They were so competitive against Boston in that game. And yeah, so expect them, I think, a little bit of strategy on their part. You know, the harder game, let's kind of punt on this one, and then we're going to come out strong for the second game of in the back-to-back against a much inferior opponent. No need to get into a ton of stats here, guys. It is the Wizards, but the Clippers are playing really good here lately. 5th versus 30th in net rating over the last 10 games. Clippers are first over their last five. And if you're thinking, Joe, I don't like this spread, man. It's too many points. The Wizards' average loss this season has come by 18.3 points. The Clippers, I've talked about this a lot, an NBA best 13-5 against the spread as a favorite. They don't often play down to the competition. And they're beating up on bad teams. Recent wins of 29 over the Blazers, a 59-point win over the Nets. They beat the Hawks by 26. You can debate if the Hawks are bad or not. They're above average. They beat the Jazz by 37 about a month ago. 8-1 ATS in their last nine as a home favorite. I like the Clippers to bounce back and cover the big number. Let's wrap with a big bet. Celtics, Lakers, SGP. What do you have for us, Sean?
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised this is the number we're getting. So I'm pairing the two guys I already gave straight bets for. I'm going Derek White, Andrew Holley, but I'm going points and assists. So it's going to be Derek White, 15-plus points with the 4-plus assists that I like. Drew Holiday, 10-plus points. Drew Holiday, 4-plus assists. And, I mean, pairing points and assists isn't always the greatest because you can't do both at the same time. But the thing where you put this into the SGP that I really like is Derek White's assist could be going to Drew Holiday, and Drew Holiday's assist could be going to Derek White. So you could be picking off two of these props at the exact same time, depending how it plays out. And plus 1,500 for this. I mean, you just look at this. If I told you Derek White had 15-4 tonight and Drew Holiday had 10-4, would you be like, that's anything great we asked for? I don't think so. And their matchups just really, really play. I've said it multiple times. They're going to be the two guys going on Austin Reeves. You're going to get Dorian Finney-Smith and Max Christie trying to take away Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. And the Lakers just don't have a surplus of wing defenders. So they're going to, that's how the Celtics will exploit it. So, I was surprised. Plus 1,500. I really like that one as a pairing. I just don't think you're asking for a lot there. I'll answer the question too about the Knicks under 52.5 wins, minus 108. Yeah, I was concerned you were gonna say like minus 150, minus 160 for the juice. I think the projections are like pretty close, like 50, 51 wins. So when you're saying under 52.5, there's definitely something there.
Okay, there you have it. There you have it for today. Do we have a recap graphic? Producer Mick, we do. Let's check in on this one. So Pacers minus 3, Bulls plus 1.5, Clippers minus 14 for me. Derek White over 3.5 assists, Drew Holiday over 3.5 assists, and a couple of SGPs there. The game in Paris, France plus 323, and a big one right around 15-1 odds there for Celtics Lakers tonight in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Okay, that does it for today's show. Thank you to both of my guests, John and Jake, for joining. Thank you to producer Mick for putting together a rock-solid show for us today. Thank you to our sponsor, BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. And thank you to all of our great viewers for tuning in. Best of luck with your bets tonight. Enjoy the games. And we're going to be back tomorrow to give out our best bets for the big games, the NFL Conference Finals on Sunday. We will catch you guys then. Let's go, Pacers. Woo!